but my church. How many of you love church and just in general? Say, Pastor Charlie, we hate church. What are you doing here, man? It's Saturday, all right? Hey, listen, just let me just tell you, if you weren't here last week, I'll bring you up to speed. Here's the deal. Here's what I said last week. You ready? I love my church. I love my church. And I'm hoping that through this series, you will fall in love with the local church. Fall in love with the local church. I tell you, there's nothing like being a part of a local church. It's where, honestly, it's where the rubber meets the road. It is the place that makes more kingdom impact every week than any other place in the world, right here in the local church. Right here in the local church. So I'm praying that through this series, you will absolutely fall in love with the local church. Now, as per usual, this could possibly be the most powerful message you ever hear in your life. All right? I mean, this, I know I've preached a lot. I've been preaching for a while. But this message right here, if you get a hold of it, it'll change your life, man. How many believe that happens every week? I believe it. If you don't, I don't know why you're here. But listen, here's the truth. It happens every week right here. Greatest message right now. You ready? Here's what I want to tell you about. I did not get to finish my message last week, but I only left out one point, and here's what it was. You ready? Here it is. Here it is. You will experience a love for the local church when you intentionally, key word there, intentionally, keyword is intentionally. Come on, one more time. Keyword is intentionally. That means on purpose, all right? When you on purpose love the local church. I know what some people might think, well, love's got to grow in me. No, no. Love happens when you make a decision to love church. When you make a decision to love church. Now, you say, what are we talking about this week? This week, we're talking about something very close to my heart that I hope and pray that you will hear my heart on this. I love my church through serving. Everybody say serving. 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 I don't know about you, but this is one of the things I did even before I got saved. I was drugged to church and made to serve. Hated it. My stepfather at the time cleaned the church every week. Hated it. Hated it. Hated it. We had drug problems just like we have now, but our drug problems were a little different. Drug to church. Drug to church. How many of you know that there's nothing wrong? We could do a lot in our culture if we still had a drug problem like that. Amen? But listen, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is serving in the church is what we're talking about this week. Serving in the church. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know where you stand on serving and whatnot, but here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that I like superheroes. But I like superheroes? I like superheroes. Sometimes they really annoy me, but I remember the first time I ever seen the real Superman. Y'all don't, nobody remembers seeing the first Superman, the first movie? Really? The first Superman? Now, some of you just aren't participating, and I'm going to stay here all night. How many of you seen the first Superman? First Superman. All right. All right. Listen, I love Superman, but I like the Incredible Hulk because he's more my pace. You know what I'm talking about? You turn green, flip out, and tear up stuff. Some of you are too religious to even say you're more like the Hulk than Superman. The one thing that bothered me about Superman, though, is he was very passive. Why does the world have to fall apart before you get involved there, super stupor? All right? Why don't you get involved before the whole world falls apart? Why don't we do some preventative superhero stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, now let's transfer it over here. I'm going somewhere. Let's transfer over here to the Avengers. How many Avenger fans? You know, well, the Avengers are different, though, because not one of the guys has all the power. You know what I mean? You got, like, Iron Man. Come on, he's the bomb. Yeah. What? How many of you like Captain America? Okay, maybe this is the generational lost crowd. How many of you remember Charlie's Angels? Remember Charlie's Angels? You might remember them. I said, wow, maybe I should have went back. But hey, nevertheless, there is a difference between Superman and the Hulk, and the Avengers are in this service, Charlie's Angels. How many of you remember Charlie's Angels worked as a team? They pulled it together, right? How many of you know the Avengers, well, y'all don't know, but they do pull it together. They all work together for a common goal. You ought to rent it. It's pretty good. But the Avengers, okay, but Superman was a little different. And everybody likes Superman, though, and Spider-Man and all those. For one, I don't really personally like it. They're passive, which really annoys me because the whole world falls apart before they get involved. Very annoying. And tell you another annoying part about those guys is they never seem to really have bosses. You ever thought about that? They're really like free-spirited, independent. Nobody ever tells them what to do. Right? They're really leaning that way. And a lot of times, well, let me just say it this way. Which one would you more identify with your church walk? In serving. Do you think of the church as being more like, well, Pastor Charlie's the superhero, or Michelle down in kids ministry is the superhero, or Toph with the guitar is the superhero, or Meredith with her voice is the superhero, you know? Or Zach and Anthony back there controlling the lights, they're the superhero, and they're the ones that make it happen. They don't have any bosses. They're not accountable for nothing. They just... Is that what you identify with? Is that what you think church is? That it's a superhero, that Charlie's the superhero or something like that? Or do you see it more like an Avengers, Charlie's Angels type situation where it's a team and everybody's pulling together for the same thing? Now, I don't know where you stand, but let me just convince you of this. It's not a superhero deal. It's not. It's not. It may seem that way some. It's not. It's not. It's a team effort. And it's a team effort of people who have a heart for God, who love to serve, who love to serve, who love to serve, who love to serve. How many of you know what a waiter is when you go to a restaurant? How many of you ever had great service from a waiter? Man, there are some places I go just and I will ask for that waiter. Because whenever I go in there, man, he takes care of me. Here's what I don't want. I do not want a passive waiter. I don't want a passive waiter. I don't want someone who sits back and waits for me to ask to fill sweet tea. Come on, am I right? 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 I don't want some waiting while I don't want to sit and wait while I see my food sitting on that warm counter thing. I don't even know. It's like 5 feet away, and I could get it faster than they could get it. How many of you know that's annoying? That I want a intentional, on-purpose waiter, a waiter who is plugged into what I need and who moves on that thing, right? Let me tell you the only thing worse than a passive waiter, a overworked waiter. Anybody ever been to a restaurant that had an overworked waiter? He takes your order. Well, first he greets you at the door. He takes you, gets the menu, sets you down. He brings the drinks. He goes and gets the spatula. He cooks your food. He takes your... How many of you know that'll wear me out? And let me tell you something worse than an overworked waiter. An overworked church person. An overworked church person is your worst nightmare. Is your worst nightmare. They're not friendly. They're not happy. They're mad because they're serving. Now, I would like to blame it on them, but here's the stats for real. They say that 80% of the church sits on their, you fill in the blank. While 20% of the church is doing church, actively participating in serving. It's no wonder the body of Christ is moving at lightning speed. 80% of the people aren't doing anything for God. 80%. 80% of church people don't do anything for God. Listen to what Jesus said about that in the gospel here. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He said to them, the harvest truly is what? Great. Oh, no, Pastor Charlie, people don't want to come to know Jesus. No, people really do. I truly believe what Jesus said. The harvest truly is out there, and it's ready and ripe for the picking. It says, but the laborers, the servants, the people who are willing to serve are few. They are few. And now what happens to a harvest when it doesn't get pulled or harvested in its season? It rots, spoils, and goes bad. I wonder how many people are waiting to come to church, waiting to be a part of the church, waiting to be a part of the body of Christ. Let's be personal. Waiting to be a part of Abundant Life Church that our laborers, though, haven't went out and plucked. And if we don't go get them, they're going to spoil on the vine and rot. And their life is not going to be everything it could be without God. Wonder how many people are out there like that. Because I choose to believe what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, in this generation, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. He said it in general, speaking to all generations, that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers, those who are willing to serve God and be participating, truly are few. I think about our church. Last year, we did a servant meal. For Christmas, I think we had 220-something servants within the church here. I think it was 220 or 250. If Pam was here, one of them guys, they could remind me what the number is. 200-something. Let's say 220, 250, somewhere in that ballpark. Imagine that. If that's 80% of what we have the potential to do, and look at how much God has done here. Just think if we unleashed all of that. I tell you, we could change a culture. We could change a community. We could change our homes. We could change the neighbor's home if the laborers were willing to labor. Come on, amen? I believe that with all my heart, with all my heart. You say, but Pastor Charlie, this series is about I love my church. I know. Here's the reality, though. You ready? Here it is. I want you to see this and see this really, really clear. It is hard to be in love with something you do not invest in. I'm telling you the truth. I found that there are things that I don't like that I invest in that I end up loving. Example, soccer. I don't know about y'all, but when I was in school, they didn't have soccer. I still don't like the rules, and I have very little understanding of them. I complain at every game that the rules aren't fair. In basketball, if you've got one guy who breaks away with the ball, it's called a fast break. Dunk it! In soccer, it's called offsides. Unfair. It's not unfair. You got as many people on the field as we do. You should run faster. This is why this is not an American sport. American sports are not based upon fair. Based upon who wins. Okay, I'll stop. But I found that because my son plays soccer, I have a love for soccer now, which is weird. I don't even like it. I'll give you another one. This is an easy one, real easy. I am a Kokomo High School graduate. Barely. But I did get there. All right? Now, I'll tell you what. My kids go to Eastern. We used to wax Eastern in everything. Now my son plays Kokomo. Guess who I root for? You better root for Eastern. Hey, not only that, I take joy when Eastern beats them now. Why? I'm invested there. We oftentimes think if I love something, I'll invest. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that when you invest, you'll love. If you'll invest in your marriage, you'll love your marriage. If you'll invest in your home, you'll love your home. If you'll invest in your car, you'll love your car. If you invest in your kids, you'll love your kids. Anything you don't invest in, you don't love. Anything you love, you'll invest in. If you say you love the church, but you don't invest in it, what kind of love is that really? It's not an active love. It's a passive love. It's a superhero sitting on the sidelines waiting to be called into the game. I'm here to blow the whistle and say, get in the game, man. Get in the game of the local church, man. What are you doing? What are you doing? Because the reality is, it is hard to love. Hard to love. It's, I would dare say, probably impossible to love something that you do not invest in. When you invest in the local church, I promise you, you fall in love with it. You start seeing what God is doing here. And because of that, you can't help but fall in love with it. Because the more you get involved, the more you see what God's doing, the more you see what God's doing, the more powerful you see it is, the more you give and give your time and your servanthood to it. Come on, say amen to that. That's good. That's good. All right, so listen to this. Check this out. What is serving really, though? What is serving? What is serving? Let's get real with it. You ready? Number one, if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to, write this down. You ready? Serving what Jesus loves honors God. If you want to know why we should serve God, or I'm sorry, rather, why we should serve in the local church, it honors God. It honors God. It absolutely 100% all the time, guess what it does? Honors God. It honors God. Look at this verse right here. Look at this right here. Colossians chapter 3, verse what? 23. Here's what it says. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward and an inheritance. Watch this. For you serve the, come on, talk to me. You serve the who? Lord Christ. Say, but Pastor Charlie, you're asking us to get involved here at Abundant Life Church. I know, because why? We are all serving the Lord Christ. You're serving Jesus through the local church. There's not a more powerful way to serve God than at the local church. Say, no, well, I go and feed the hungry. That's great. But if you're not connected to what Jesus is connected to, you're not building his kingdom. I've met with people and talked to people who say, well, Pastor Charlie, I do this and I do that. Here's what I will tell you. Over the years, I've seen ministries come up and come down, come up and come down. Oftentimes, I'll ask someone who's starting a ministry, if it's not a local church, let's say it's some outreach program or whatever, I will ask them, is it under a local church? No, Pastor Charlie, we don't want it to be under the local church. Why? Well, we want it to be everybody's. So we want everyone to come. Okay, time out. Jesus promised he would build his church. He didn't say outreach. The church is an outreach. If you want an outreach, you're still supposed to be connected to the vine, the church. I want an outreach in downtown Kokomo to feed hungry people. That's great. Find a local church to partner with you and make it happen. Make it happen. Stay connected to the church, because we're not serving each other. We're serving Christ, the Lord Christ. How do we serve the Lord Christ? We do it by serving in the local church, local church, local church. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus said about it a little bit more. Matthew 25, 37, it says, then the righteous will answer and say unto him, Lord, Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or the thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and we clothed you? Or did we see you sick and in prison and we came to you? And here's what, and Jesus, and the king answered unto them, king being Jesus, said to them, assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of one of these my brethren, you did it unto me. The principle is this: we serve the Lord by serving each other. Right? Where does that happen? Local church. Local church. We serve each other, but we first and foremost serve him. And by serving him, we serve our church. That's the way God intended it. Let me explain it and say it this way. God never intended, I'm going to shock you. You ready? Buckle up. You ready? God never called you to come to church. God never called you to come to church. Never. God called you to be the church. He called you to be the church. He didn't say come to church. No, no, you are the church. He said come and be the church. There's a difference between coming to church and being the church. We got a whole lot, and I'm not upset or mad that we have a lot of people coming to church. But let's make sure that our goal is not coming to church, because Jesus never said that. Let's make sure that we're being the church. How do we be the church? Through serving, through serving, through serving. We honor Christ when we serve what he died and bled for, the local church. Come on, amen? Amen. Amen. Check this out. Second thing, write this down, write this down. You ready? Number two, serving moves me from spiritual consumer to spiritual contributor. From spiritual consumer to spiritual contributor. Did you hear that? Do you think God wants you to be a consumer or a contributor? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. He wants you to participate. He wants you to contribute. He wants you to contribute. Why? Why? You can write this down. What you invest in, you never walk away from. When you invest into something, the local church, you do not walk away from that thing too easy. You do not. When you invest in it, you won't walk away from it. Think about this, Galatians 5. Look at this right here. 5:13. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, what's it say? Serve who? One another. Who is he talking to? The local church. Local church. Through love, serve one another. Now, how many of you have ever been in love before? Come on, y'all. Come on, you're lying. Try this side. And if you're married, you better raise your hand. Something's wrong. All right, how many of you have been in love before? I'm talking stupid, crazy love. All right, okay. All right. Now let me ask you this. How did you get to the point of either married or dating or courting, whatever you want to call it? How did you get there? Did you just show up and say, you know what, honey? I love you. You love me? Yeah, let's do this thing. You want to get married? How many of you know it didn't work that way? How many of you, when you first saw her, it was like, ooh, mama. Then it was like, I think I ought to buy her something. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, I can't get a witness in here, huh? I need to buy her something. Or I need to do something. I need to do something. Your love for that individual that you love provoked you. He was like, well, you know, I got to do something. I got to do something. I'm going to buy her a milkshake. You know what I did? I told Michelle I'd take her out. First time I ever took her out, we broke down in my Mustang on US 31. It was fantastic. I mean, you know, that was not the way to start it. But, hey, true story though, I kept doing things for her. Showing her daily, weekly, monthly, yearly now. I'm joking. That I love her. I love her. Why? Because love demands an action. It demands that. The word love in the Bible is a verb. What is a... Now, last time we did verb noun, we jacked it all up here at Abundant Life Church, all right? Because y'all need some English classes, and so did I. But listen, a verb is a y'all are awesome. You didn't go to Kokomo. It's a what? It's a action word. Now, I want you to think about this action word called love when we read this. For you, brethren, have not been called to liberty, But only do not use your liberty as an opportunity to, for the flesh, but through love. Love, something on the inside of you propels you to do something, release something, serve one another. My serving is not based upon your feelings. My serving is not based upon you at all. My serving is not based upon everyone celebrating it. My serving is connected to my love for the Savior who saved me. And because of my love for Him, I'm provoked and can't stand still and is spiritually, lovingly irritated in my heart to do something for the Savior that loves me. Amen. He's done so much for me, I could surely do something for Him, praise God. That's what it is. That's what it is. When I first started feeling this, I used to think I was selfish. Seriously, I used to think it was selfish. I used to think the devil will play all kinds of games with you. He'll tell you, you want to serve because you want to be seen. You want to serve because you just want to be in charge. You want to serve because you this or you that or you this. He'll play all kinds of mind games on you. I know whenever I first was getting involved in ministry, they tried to put me as a youth pastor. In my heart, I told them, I feel like I'm called to be a senior pastor. They said, you're 25 years old. I said, I know. I said, and I sincerely said this, maybe it's just ego. Maybe it's just my flesh. Maybe, Audrey, you remember having this conversation? I used to tell her this before I was in, when I was in Bible college. I would say, I feel like I'm supposed to do this, but my everything, I don't want to be fleshly. I don't want to be carnal. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be deceived by my own gifting or anything like that. So for a long time, I resisted it, serving in this capacity. I resisted it because I felt like it's about me. When really I realized that, no. It truly is about Him. I truly love Him with all my heart. And every gifting He's given me, I want to use to multiply His kingdom, praise God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's from this attitude of what? Love. If you're serving out of being seen, you're doing it for the wrong motive. You'll burn out, you'll be offended, you'll get your feelings hurt, and it'll never work long term. Why? Sheep bite. Did y'all get that? Everybody say that with me. Say, sheep bye. Everybody do this. Bye. How many of you know we're all sheep? How many of you know we all bite? And if you're serving God from an impure motive, eventually the bites will become so bad that you won't want to serve God no more. But when you're flowing in your calling and you're flowing where God's called you, no matter how bad the bite, you know in your heart, I'm serving because I love Him, not because I want anything else. Come on, y'all get that? And listen, this love at Abundant Life Church has got to be the motivation of your serving. I pray with all my heart that this message moves you to serve, but to serve out of the right reason and not the wrong. It moves you to serve God out of the right reason. There's all kinds of reasons people serve. I'll start with the parking lot ministry. For the last year and a half, I've tried to get the parking lot ministry. And I'm not mad about this. Please don't misunderstand my motive. But here's the deal. We've tried to get the parking lot ministry. We've not got up and running yet. Got a couple people involved, but it's not functioning the way I want it to be. All right? And the reason is oftentimes people misunderstand why we want a parking lot ministry. I've told people we want it for safety. Yeah. Absolutely, to keep the parking lot safe. Why? We got a whole bunch of kids down there. Any one of them could run across the parking lot after a service, and we don't want to know what comes next. But can I tell you the greater thing? I believe with all my heart, you could stand out there and wave at people and say, I'm here because Pastor Charlie asked me to. Or you could say, I am out here because people are coming in who have big walls built up against God. And I am out here as their first point of contact with a smile and a wave to spiritually break off the hindering thing in their heart so they might see the goodness of God before they ever get into the building. That's why I'm here. So it's not about waving at people and being in a parking lot. It's about breaking spiritual walls down off of people's hearts as they pull into the building, because they don't get that anywhere else, praise God. Come on, that's powerful. I think about even the greeters. Oh, Pastor Charlie, we greet. We just hold the door open for people. That's all we do. If that's your mentality, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. We can hire Walmart greeters and do that. Right? Come on, am I right? Yes. Yeah, that's not the point. We don't have greeters to hold doors open. That's not. And if you're serving as a greeter, here's a revelation. We serve by opening the door for people, because people come in burdened down. We want to break off the chains and literally open up their heart to the gospel before they even hear it, so that they don't resist it when they do hear it. Come on, am I right? It's that love for people and love for serving that actually impacts people's lives. Think about it, even kids' ministry. What do we offer kids' ministry? Well, we just offer kids' ministry because they're a pain in the booty down here, praise God. We know why. No. No. We love those kids. They're the future of our church. Amen. And not just this church. They're the future of every church. So we don't babysit kids at the other end. No, we train up world changers, history makers, little young people that will advance the kingdom of God and be triumphant over the kingdom of darkness from the time they come out of their womb till the time they go back to heaven, praise God. That's what we do at Abundant Life Church. Why do we love our church? We love it because that's what we're doing. We don't worship to make noise. We worship so that hearts are broken open so the gospel can penetrate it. Everything we do is motivated by this love thing, by this ability to serve someone else and break the chains off of their life. That's why it's important when we do greet, we're happy and smiling. Say, but I got issues. Good, come get prayed for. Don't stand at the door with your issue. Why? Because someone coming through the door may have bigger issues, believe it or not. We'll pray for you, but we need you to be alert and attentive. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Man, we want to impact people's lives. And people often think this starts with the message. How many of you have been offended at a church before the message even started? Come on, raise your hand, literally. How many of you have been offended at a church before the message even came? Raise your hand big and high. Now look around, please. Look around. Look at how many people have got their hands up. I'm telling you, people all over. All over. Why? Because it's not just about the preaching. It's not a superhero show. Come on, man. It's not. It's about serving one another. It's about serving one another. It's about breaking off things off of people's lives, off of people's lives when we greet, when we usher, when we do anything that we do. It's about getting people free so that God can minister to them. Come on, am I right? Man, I believe that with all my heart, all my heart. Check this out. When it comes to this, look at this. Here's the bottom line. Serving changes me. I'm still on point two. Serving changes you. It changes you. When you realize I'm not opening the doors to open doors. I'm not standing in the parking lot to wave. I'm not singing to sing. I'm doing this to break spiritual chains off of people's lives so they can be free for the kingdom of God. I'm here to advance God's kingdom any way possible. Sometimes that's a smile. Sometimes it's a handshake. Sometimes it's, you know, praying with someone. Sometimes it's inviting somebody to go eat with me. Sometimes whatever the case is, that's what I'm about, praise God. Come on, amen. 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 Check this out. We were at this conference this week, and one of the things that they talked about was they were talking about college kids leaving the church. And here's what they found. This is a powerful thing. Powerful thing. Powerful thing, if you're asking me. Here's what they found. Children that were raised in church, when they grow up and go to college, they look for a church Watch this. Not to attend, but to serve in. It absolutely flipped me upside down when I heard that. It flipped me upside down. People, when young people go to the church, when they come to church for 18 years, born and raised in church, and you teach them as a family to serve in the house of God. When they go away to college, they go looking for not the perfect church, because they've been in church, they know that doesn't exist. They go looking for a church where they can impact somebody's life. Because the bottom line is, serving changes me. Serving changes young people. Serving changes you. Serving changes us. Serving changes everybody. Serving changes our community. Serving changes everything around us when we understand the purpose of it. Amen? That's why we've got to serve. We can't say we love God and we love His church without serving. Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't know what to do. Neither did I when I started serving. I started serving in the nursery. You know I ain't called there. I figured out real quick, I'm going to be here for a long time, or I should figure out where I'm called, praise God. Y'all hearing me? Come on, y'all get it? Yes. I'll give you the last one. Last point here. You ready? Write this one down if you would, right here. This one's good. There are people that we cannot reach without you. You believe that? There are people we cannot reach without you. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful, y'all see that? If you have a gift, you should be using it. Because that's what God calls faithful. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, I haven't been given a gift. Oh, yes, you have. No one in here is without a gift. I'll go on. As a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. Look at the first part. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. How many remember whenever you were a kid and you looked forward to Christmas morning? Praise God, we're still here tonight. Come on, raise your hand. How many of you remember that? Man, I remember that. I remember that. Looking so forward to it. How many of you unwrapped your gifts and rewrapped them before your parents knew it? Don't be raising your hand if your parents are here. Come on, I looked forward to Christmas. Man, I looked forward to Christmas as a kid. I mean, I knew that was a one time in the year where I was probably going to get something that I... Yeah. Y'all remember that? You keep it up, you're asking for it. This was the one year I was getting what I asked for. Anyway, never, I go on. But listen, how many of you know it would be odd for a young kid to walk up to a gift on Christmas and shrug his shoulders and walk up and say, I don't really want that gift. Snub his nose at it. What would you think of that kid after you beat him? Huh? You little snot-nosed punk. I worked hard to give you that, whatever it might be. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because why? Here's why. It dishonors the gift and the giver. When you shrug your nose and say, I don't care what God's put inside of me, you're insulting the gift that God has placed in you and the giver of that gift. You're insulting both. You should acknowledge it and participate with it and use it. That's the way God meant for it to be. Come on. Amen. Are you what I'm saying? You're not supposed to just shrug off the gift that God's given you. You're supposed to celebrate and use it. And use it. Let me ask you this. What would you think of a man who would reach 189 million people since 2008. What would you think of a gift like that? Huh? Do you believe that's an awesome person to be able to do something like that? How many of you would like to reach 189 million people? I know what you're thinking. That's Pastor Charlie. It's not. I wish. Since 2008, that's only 7 years, this individual has reached 189,000 people. 189,000. Watch this. Let me go on to say a little bit more about this individual. Over 799 languages. I personally didn't even know there were that many languages. This man has reached 799 languages. 799 languages. You say, who is he? Billy Graham. Who is he? This or that? The other. His name is Bobby Grunewald. How many of you have ever heard of him? Nobody. Everybody get your phone out. Get your phone out. Get your phone out. Mine's in the car. Why? Because we got smart aleck people who will text me while I'm up here and think it's funny. All right, get your phone out. How many of you, raise up your hand. How many of you have YouVersion Bible app? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise it up big and high. Bobby Grunewald is the founder and architect and writer of the YouVersion Bible app. Say, well, that's really impacting. So what? I'll tell you about him. You ready? He's 25 years old, just graduated, not now, 7 years ago. 7 years ago, 25 years old. He had built a couple companies, sold them, didn't know what he was going to do with his life. He was in a church. While he was in the church, he was filling in as the keyboard player. He was filling in as the keyboard player. His pastor preached about serving. He told his pastor, I don't have anything to do. I don't have anything to offer. He said, really? He goes, you know what I've been wanting to do? I've been wanting to make an app for the Bible in a language that everybody can get it. This gentleman said, that's easy. That's easy. Say, what happened? He used his gift in the local church, and now he is reaching 799 languages. Now what I said? 189 million people with that you. 189 million people all over the world are growing in their relationship with God by reading the Bible because one man who was a fill-in keyboard player got the revelation that my gift might have a place in the local church. Pastor Charlie, I can't do anything. His pastor looked at him and said, what do you do? He told him what he did. He goes, here's what I've been thinking about. Man, went home and did it. How many believe that's just a flat out awesome? Yes. Awesome that he can impact people. Because oftentimes, here's what we think. I can't preach, so I can't serve. I can't this, so I can't serve. I can't that, so I can't serve. No, those are excuses sent into your heart by the enemy to keep you from serving. Everyone has a gift. You just have to find it. You just have to dig for it and find out what it is that you could do for God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. Most people ask this question. Most people ask this question right here. What can the church do for me? So many people ask that. What can the church do for me? You know what that's called? That's called a consumer mentality. I don't want you to be a consumer mentality. I want you to have a contributing mentality. So here's the question that's a better question. It's not what the church can do for you. Let me ask you this, and I mean this with all sincerity. What gift has God put in you? What gift has God put in you? You are a gift to the church. What is that gift? What is that gift that God's put in you? Because everyone in here has a gift. The Bible is very clear about it, that every person in here has a gift, has a gift. Pastor Charlie, I have the gift of organization. I promise you, we need some of them. I have the gift of gab. Great. Can you call folks? Come on. I have the gift of technology. I love tech stuff. Well, we got a place for you. I have the gift of just hi and being overwhelmingly happy. We got a place for you. I'm telling you, every person in here has a gift. It's all about the gift that's in you and finding a place for it.